The Santa Fe Opera celebrated its 50th season this past summer, which makes it one of the longest-running opera companies in this country. Classical music critic Lloyd Schwartz spent the summer there 35 years ago. Over the summer, he went back again for the first time.
This summer, enticed by an exciting schedule of operas, including an important American premiere, I made a nostalgic return visit to the Santa Fe Opera. Back in 1971, I spent the whole summer there, visiting my girlfriend, who is part of Santa Fe's pioneering apprentice program, a program that gives gifted young singers a chance to work with established vocalists, directors, and coaches. The buzz that summer was about a young soprano from New Zealand with the unusual name Kiri Te Kanawa, who was making her American debut. But I actually got more involved with the company than I expected to. I helped paint sets. I did some acting. I played the guard who arrests the hero in Verdi's Don Carlo. And I ended up writing my first professional music review of one of Santa Fe Opera's world premieres. All ears and no threat, I listen to musicians joke about their experiences and worry about the precariousness of their careers. I didn't know it at the time, but that summer in Santa Fe had been a turning point in my life. Mostly what was new for me this summer was the spectacular high-tech open-air theater, which was built in 1998. There's probably no more beautiful spot on earth for opera than Santa Fe. When the back of the stage is open, you can see the lights of Los Alamos glittering in the distance. The old theater, with its two dramatically cantilevered roofs, also left a dramatic opening for rain. I remember sharing an umbrella during numerous performances. In the new production of The Tempest, by the young British composer Thomas Otis, an opera based on Shakespeare's play, unscheduled lightning flashed as if on cue, but no one except the shipwrecked characters got wet. The Santa Fe Opera has a brilliant record of American and world premieres. Audiences trust the company and fill the theater, even for new works. Otis, who is only 34, is the most impressive British opera composer to come along since Benjamin Britten. Otis's librettist, Meredith Oakes, follows Shakespeare's plot, but uses contemporary English and makes up new rhymes, which are not really an improvement on Shakespeare. I was especially taken with Otis's otherworldly, higher-than-human music for the sprite Ariel, sung by the phenomenal Cindy Acedon, who created this role in London 2 years ago. Here's Ariel obeying the orders of Rod Gilfrey's commanding Prospero. The Santa Fe 50th anniversary season was elegantly put together. The poet W.H. Auden considered the magic flute to be Mozart's version of The Tempest, so it was revealing to see these two operas back to back. The productions ranged from powerful and dazzling to silly. In The Magic Flute, I thought it was a terrible idea to alternate between sung German and spoken English, to mingle Elizabethan gowns and baseball caps, to have the villain dressed as a Nazi and the Queen of the Night's daughter, Pamina, look like Maria in West Side Story. but French soprano Nathalie Dessay, the latest in a long line of wonderful singers attracted to Santa Fe, made a ravishing and heartbreaking Pamina. At its best, the Santa Fe Opera can compete with the top opera companies in the world. With its commitment to new works, its apprentice programs, and its creative outreach, the company pioneered having translations flash on the back of the seat in front of you, and you can even choose English or Spanish. The company is making a concerted investment in the future of opera, which makes it one of the most vital arts institutions in this country.
Lloyd Schwartz is classical music editor of the Boston Phoenix and teaches English at the University of Massachusetts, Boston.